Uhuru, welcome to Solidarity Not Charity, the weekly program of the African People's Solidarity Committee here on uhururadio.com, the online voice of the International African Revolution. I just want to thank the African People's Socialist Party for establishing this organization that gives white people the opportunity to organize in solidarity with the liberation struggle of African people and all colonized people. A national anti-war march took place yesterday in Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, and San Francisco to mark the 7th anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. Protesters were calling on the Barack Obama administration to end the war and occupation in Afghanistan and Iraq. The march was organized by the ANSWER Coalition, and ANSWER stands for Act Now to Stop War and End Racism. And a Uhuru Movement contingent participated in the march in San Francisco, and chairman of the African People's Socialist Party and leader of the Black is Bad Coalition for Social Justice, Amalia Shetela, gave a speech. We have audio clips from the march held in San Francisco, and we'll be playing those today. We also have comments made by Chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee, Penny Hess, about the march, and several clips from members of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement who attended the march, and also other people at the march. The rally started around 11 a.m. and was followed by a labor march that went around the downtown San Francisco area. Amalia Shetela spoke around noon in front of City Hall. He identified himself as the leader of the Black is Back Coalition, which is an organization that is growing quickly around the world. He identified Obama as an imperialist and spoke on the resistance and support needed for colonized people. He told the attendees of the march that it was not enough to just say peace, that unless people are united against imperialism, there will always be a war to be against. The war in Afghanistan and Iraq today is just simply a consequence of the founding of the American imperialist empire itself. It is not enough to say U.S. out of Iraq or U.S. out of Afghanistan. People need to be in solidarity with the oppressed people all over the world who are fighting against imperialism in order to really bring an end to all imperialist wars. So this is the speech given by Chairman Amalia Shetela.
I have the privilege to introduce my brother, Amalia Shetela, who is the chairman of the African Socialist International. He's going to be speaking for the Black is Black Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations. Give it a big hand for Chairman Omali.
Thank you so much. Uhuru. I greet you with the slogan Uhuru. It is Swahili for freedom. It was made popular by the Kenyan Land Freedom Army, commonly known as Mau Mau, who fought a courageous battle against British colonialism in Kenya. I am here today representing the Black is Back Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations. It is a coalition of African people spanning the entire philosophical and ideological spectrum in the anti-imperialist Black community for self-determination. It is a coalition that is growing throughout the United States, that exists also in the Bahamas and England. It is a coalition that came together in September of last year and held the first national mobilization against the war and against this government since the inauguration of Barack Hussein Obama. We felt like it was our responsibility as African people to take on the question not only of the war that Obama's regime has continued to pursue, but the question of imperialism itself. We felt like it was necessary to create this coalition because we understand that imperialism is imperialism is imperialism. And that it does not matter what the complexion of the occupation of the White House is at any given time. We felt it was our responsibility to take a stand against the Obama regime precisely because it is the crisis of imperialism itself that made it necessary for imperialism to attempt to hide its face behind a black skin. So the Black is Back Coalition stands in solidarity with you. We stand in solidarity also because as African people, we have to be opposed to imperialism. Woo! Imperialism is not something that just started today. This war that we are talking about today is a consequence of the founding of the American empire itself. America is the greatest, worst empire that has ever existed on the face of the earth. We are here today to say that there will be no peace as long as imperialism continues to exist. That we have to move beyond. We have to move beyond tailing imperialism, calling for an end to this war and an end to that war and an end to the next war. We have to stand on the side of the oppressed. It is not enough to say peace. But we have to say solidarity with the resisting peoples of the world. Yes. It is not enough. It is not enough to say the U.S. out of Iraq. We have to say solidarity with the resistors of the Iraqi people. Yes. Solidarity with the resistors of the people of Afghanistan. Yes. Solidarity with the people of Palestine. Yes. Solidarity with the Hugo Chavez and the people of Venezuela and throughout South America. Solidarity with the people of Zimbabwe. Yes. Solidarity with the people of Mexico and all of the oppressed and colonized people right here inside the United States as well. We say we live in a world whose political and economic configuration has come about as a consequence of terror and imperialism. It is a world that is based on a parasitic political economy, a world that is based on a parasitic economy that requires the blood of the peoples of the world in order for it to continue to be successful. It is because of the growing struggles of resistance of the peoples of the world that denies imperialism its lifeblood that makes it necessary for imperialism to now initiate what it considers to be a permanent state of warfare, not only against the people of the Middle East, not only against the people in Latin America, but against the peoples of the world.
Yes, brother.
So we stand here to say that the Black is Back Coalition stands in solidarity with you. We understand that Barack Hussein Obama is the last desperate attempt by imperialism to hide in imperialist white power to hide behind a black face.
That's all right, but tell
we
him
say,
right.
tell him we right. say it is the successful struggles of the people in Afghanistan and Palestine and Pakistan. It is the growing struggles of the people in South America. It is anticipation of the struggles of the people in Africa and right here in this country that makes it necessary for imperialism to attempt to hide its white imperialist face behind the face of the slave. We say it will not work. Death to imperialism.
Yeah.
Down with imperialism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Solidarity with the people of Palestine.
All right.
Long live Palestine.
Right.
Free, free Palestine.
Yeah.
Long live the resistance of the people of Afghanistan. Solidarity with the people of South America who are fighting to take back their resources. Unity with the struggles of African, Mexicans, and the indigenous people right here in the Americas. Uhuru. All right, give it up for Omale! Give it up for Omale! Give it Omale!
Another speaker at the march, a member of the West County Toxics Coalition, Henry Clark, gave a speech and identified Obama as an imperialist and noted the lack of a change in policy, especially in regards to the environment when compared to the previous Bush administration. The West County Toxics Coalition is a nonprofit, multiracial membership organization founded in 1986 to empower low and moderate income residents to exercise greater control over environmental problems that impact their quality of life in Contra Costa County in Northern California.
Toxics Coalition in our community in Richmond that surrounds the refinery
there?
That we have been fighting against this company for the past 25 years because they don't want to be a good neighbor. They don't want to recognize our right to a clean and safe environment.
Listen.
They just want to make their profits at the expense of the people there, especially people of color, black people, Latinos, and Asians. So we see what they're all about. I was recently in Denmark, Copenhagen, in December for the climate talks there. And people thought that the Obama administration was going to come and save the day, save the planet. But the Obama administration disappointed people
You
the people from the G77, a group that represent China and developing nations in Africa, said plain and clear that if President Obama didn't come with an offer of at least 50% cutback in greenhouse gases, that that meant death for them. Well, guess what? Obama disappointed the people, disappointed the world, because the Obama administration only came with like a 16% cutback in greenhouse gas, which was a death warrant to people in Africa and in the Maldives Islands that are already being flooded out. So this administration is not about any peace. They're not about doing any justice. They inherit the same bad reputation of warmongering as the Bush administration. And we need to tell Obama and this imperialist administration, no, there's no free ride. There's no free ride for imperialism. I don't care what color person is in the White House, whether it's black, gold, whatever. There's no free ride. You're a warmonger. You've committed crimes against humanity, and you should be tried for those war crimes that you have committed. So we will continue to fight, continue to struggle until the real warmongers are brought before a people tribunal and tried for crimes against humanity. Not a penny, not a dime to the war machine. The main enemy is at home in the White House, period. And we're going to fight until the final victory. All power to the people.
That was Henry Clark and Dr. Hatim Bazian, chairman of the American Muslims for Palestine, spoke at the rally and spoke on linking the war in America and the war in Palestine and the war in Afghanistan as the same redistribution of wealth. The aim of the American Muslims for Palestine is to educate the public about the just cause of Palestine and the rights of self-determination, liberty, and justice.
This is possibly our eighth year of protest since the Bush administration began its campaign to have war without an end. And now we're witnessing Obama buying into a war without an end, shifting troops from Iraq to Afghanistan, supporting the Israeli war machine as it bombed, killed, and destroyed lives in Gaza, as they continue to build and dispossess Palestinians in the West Bank with settlements for settlers to live on Palestinian land, confiscated from them day in and day out. But the question for us in here is how to make the links between the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, the war against the Palestinians in Palestine, and the war against people here in America. The war that sees massive shift of resources taking place. We need to understand that for every tank, for every airplane, for every F-16, for every house that is possessed and dispossessed here in this country as well as in Palestine, at the end of the day, there is somebody making more and somebody taking more of what they don't need from those who still are fighting just to get their bare essence, some basic food, some basic needs covered. If we remember Martin Luther King, when he said that the bombs that are thrown and explode in Vietnam explode in our inner city. And therefore today we have a limited finite resources. If we're spending $750 billion a year on the military industrial complex, we're spending less, $750 billion on the needs of people in here and across the world. And we need to make that connection. As student fees are going up, as the military machine is expanding day in and day out, as healthcare becoming unreachable for many people, as people losing their jobs and homes every day, millions here and across the world, we are still putting more money to build more weapons, to build death machines, to make our economy a death economy, where we say the more we kill overseas, the more of our elite will get more money in their pockets. We need to stop this. We need to stop this economy of destruction. We need to stop a war machine economy. We need to say that we need to build a new society. We need to be people for peace. We need to be people for justice. And we are the people that are advocating for this.
That was Dr. Hatim Bazian, chairman of the American Muslims for Palestine. Maria Cristina Gutierrez of the Frente Colombiano por el Socialismo, a Colombian socialist organization, spoke at the rally about Latin American internationalism. Here's that speech.
The Obama administration
Uhura Solidarity Movement member Pete Yaroshuk spoke with Chairwoman Penny Hess during the rally, and she reiterated that when this war is over, there will always be another one, that the system is parasitic and requires war to exist. Anyone who wants to take a progressive stand has to go beyond standing against the war, but must stand against imperialism. She went on to say that the white left does not have the solution to end imperialism. It simply makes imperialism look more kinder and gentler so it can survive longer. She also noted the struggle on the part of a Hoover Solidarity movement just to get Chairman Amalia Chatella to speak at this rally. Many white people in the Answer Coalition were opposed to the chairman speaking, but Palestinian, Arab, and Latino people supported it. She felt that this was indicative of the growing force and influence of the African Socialist International. So this is Chairwoman Penny Hess.
Uhuru, well, Chairman Amalia Chatella just spoke at this rally. It was really powerful, and I think that it was really important to understand what the chairman was talking about. He was saying that it's not enough to talk about peace. It's not enough just to talk about love or ending a war, but we have to stand in solidarity with oppressed and colonized people around the world who are struggling for their liberation, who are struggling for their control of resources that are theirs, who are struggling for self-determination and national liberation. And he also talked about the fact that African, Mexican, and indigenous people inside this country are also colonized and are struggling for their liberation as well and standing in solidarity themselves in this worldwide struggle to bring down imperialism. He was saying there's always going to be another war, that the system is parasitic, it's built on slavery and genocide. It has to have war to exist. When this or that war is over, there's always another one, and that the movement and anybody who's standing, who wants to take a progressive stand, has to go beyond the question of standing against the war, but stand against imperialism. And it was really got a great response from the crowd. This is what people want to hear. And I think that, you know, as white people, we have to really recognize that this white left is up there to preserve imperialism, to make a kinder, gentler imperialism, a kinder, gentler parasitic capitalism, to make it palatable for us to go ahead and live on the pedestal of the oppression of the majority of the people on the planet Earth. And there, you know, I just think it's really clear that we're in a period, the chairman spoke as Black is Back Coalition, and we're in a period when the whole African liberation movement inside this country and around the world is rising up again. And this is the question that's going to electrify not only Africans, Mexican and indigenous people inside this country, and oppressed people around the world, but white people too. And to, you know, just come here as our every year on March 20th, for the last 7 years, we come out to take a stand against the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003, and it's just an event. It's not something that is going to change the world. But if we want to change the world, we have to look at the reality of the fact that you go all the way back in history, this country is built on the same violence, the same thing that the U.S. is doing in Afghanistan or against the Palestinian people, against Africans right here. This is how the U.S. was born. It was born by the violence and genocide against the indigenous people, the theft of their land, and enslaving for 250 years inside this country a whole continent of African people, which provided the wealth that the U.S. lives on today and the basis of the power of the U.S. So this is the issue. This is the question. And I think that it was really, you know, and I want to say as well that there was struggle on the part of African People's Solidarity Committee members and Uhuru Solidarity Committee members to win, that the chairman would be on this program today. And it was won by just, you know, people from the Latino and the Palestinian and other oppressed people's movements that won that. But the white people who were in the Answer Coalition absolutely did not want the chairman to speak. So it's really powerful that was won. I think it's really indicative of the period that we live in, that the chairman they're forced to have him speak because he represents a growing force of the African Socialist International, the unity of African people all around the world, and the struggle for the liberation of Africa under the leadership of the African working class.
Chairwoman Penny Hess and Chairman Amalia Chatella summed up the rally after his speech. He noted that the rally seemed more like a party than a serious political resistance, and that instead of identifying imperialism as inherently oppressive, it just condemned certain policies of imperialism, such as the war in Iraq. He also noted that leaders of these anti-war and peace organizations also opportunistically build their careers off of the continuation of the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. So this is Penny Hess and Chairman Amalia Chatella speaking at the rally.
The chairman is here. I would like to ask him just to say a few words. Chairman, this is for the African People's Solidarity Committee show tomorrow. That's going to be Solidarity, Not Charity. And if you could just say a few words about this event today.
Well, I think it's an important event. And I also think that it was important that we are here. I'm hoping that before this mobilization and event ends, that we'll have other people who are very serious about the struggle against imperialism itself. One of the weaknesses up to now that I've seen of the event is that people, while they're able to condemn or speak opposition to the war and to various policies of imperialism, have not been equally able to condemn imperialism itself, and have not been able to talk about the fact that imperialism is inherently oppressive and exploitative, and particularly the United States government, the United States as an entity, was founded in a process of warfare, imperial warfare. So, I mean, I think that's the weakness, and I think that I reflect on the difference, say, like in this mobilization and the Black is Back coalition mobilization in Washington, D.C., where all the people who participated were quite serious in opposition to imperialism and for self-determination for Africans and other peoples around the world. I think that in some ways there's a kind of playful and cheerful attitude here that does not convey the responsibility of the people here to actually unite with the resistance of oppressed peoples here and every place else.
Uhuru, I agree with what you're saying. I thought your statement was incredibly powerful. And I thought that the fact that you were raising up the question of imperialism, that it's not enough just to say I'm against this war or that war, there will always be wars. That's what imperialism does, as you said. But when you really said that we have to take the stand against imperialism, I felt that there was a tremendous response and cheer from the crowd. And that there's this leadership of the white left that really has a happy relationship with imperialism, just make it a kinder, gentler imperialism. I thought it was also important that you were really raising and equating African people, Mexican people, indigenous people inside this country to the struggle for national liberation anyplace else in the world, you know. And I think that it's really clear from this crowd that the majority of the people here are white. It does not address anything that African people or Mexican people are experiencing.
Well, I think to do anything less than what I did in terms of what was included in my presentation is to indulge in a kind of careerism. And I think that there are is a bit of careerism that's involved in much of what is the so-called peace movement or anti-war movement that needs, in fact, war for the purpose of building themselves, building their organizations and careers and things like that, but cannot unite against imperialism. And a big problem with this is that imperialism stays stronger as a consequence of not helping the people to move beyond a kind of solidarity with imperialism that can simply oppose imperialist policies. It means going against the wind because the people are educated to love imperialism and they get their bellies fed by it and have no notion of where the resources that feed them come from. In many ways, what we're looking at now is people who are opposed to imperialism or imperialist policies because they are having to do some belt tightening or see some belt tightening down the pike. But they don't understand that the things that feed them, that make them, that have in the past made them wealthier and happier, the consequence of imperialist plunder from around the world and right here in this country. So,
that's right. Yeah. I mean, I just really agree because the whole the demands of this march were end the war, stop the wars in the Middle East, I think, and struggle for jobs and housing and that kind of thing, which presupposes that imperialism is still going to be there. So it was really great to be here, that the chairman was able to speak. He had a tremendous response from the crowd, and I think it's, like I said, really indicative of a new period of the rise of African, Mexican, and indigenous forces inside this country. So I want to thank chairman for being interviewed, and Uhuru.
Well, I was over here.
So that was Chairwoman Amalia Shetela and Chairwoman Penny Hess summarizing the rally. Pete also spoke with Joel Hamburger, a member of the African People's Solidarity Committee, who is at the march with the Uhuru contingent and staffing the literature table.
Well, I was over here organizing to support the African People's Socialist Party and get the burning spear into people's hands and tell them that the chairman, Omali Yeshitel, is going to be, who leads the Black Is Back Coalition, is going to be speaking and mobilize white people, particularly, to learn about and stand in solidarity with the African freedom struggle. And during his speech, people were either up there listening or they were over here milling and not listening. But then after the speech, people started coming around and they were like, oh, that's that man. He was awesome. He was incredible. That's his organization. Let me have that newspaper. Here's my dollar. So it's been really good. And it's really important that we get the chairman on the stage as much as possible around the Bay Area. So this was powerful. It just underscores the importance of giving the community access to the party's leadership and speaking. And we have to keep mobilizing off that.
We also have an interview with Charlene Coscarelli, a member of a Uhuru Solidarity Movement and a graduate student at JFK College, who was present at the march.
Amalia Yeshitel, I really enjoyed what he had to say because he really worked everybody up. He had a message that really cuts across all lines of people, and that we really have to end imperialism in order to end the forces that basically keep us all under oppression. So it's not only the war abroad, but it's also what's happening here in our country. And here at Uhuru, we really stand in solidarity with all oppressed people because we realize that until they're free, none of us will be.
Again, I'm Kristen Gordon, and you're listening to Solidarity Not Charity, the weekly program of the African People's Solidarity Committee here on UhuruRadio.com, the online voice of the International African Revolution. While the predominantly white anti-war march in San Francisco protested U.S. wars abroad, right across the bay in Oakland, the war on the black community is intensifying, and the Uhuru movement is calling for white people to stand up and speak out in solidarity with the right of African people to resist and fight for freedom and independence. On the line with us from Oakland is Wendy Snyder, who is the chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee there and the organizer of a Uhuru Solidarity Contingent in yesterday's march. Uhuru, Wendy.
Uhuru. I'm sorry I've lost my voice somewhat, but Uhuru. So just to say, I think this is an excellent program.
Uhuru.
And Chairman O'Malley's presentation at yesterday's anti-war.
Real talk right here, man. He gonna be missed. He ain't.
Hi. Leave a message for Ron, Wendy, Jasmine, Aaron, or Chatter the Cat. Thanks.
Who, Wendy?
Please finish your recording now. Or hang on.
Uhuru, Wendy.
Uhuru, yeah, I'm sorry you got cut off. So I was just summing up, you know, just saying that yesterday's anti-war rally, it was just so clear that the presentations by Chairman Amalia Shatella, as well as Maria Cristina Gutierrez, and a few others were the exception to the norm, which were speakers from organizations calling for a reform to the system, and I think both Penny and the chairman really addressed that. As far as our participation in the march, we had a powerful contingent and really raised up the issue of victory to the people, victory to Iraq, victory to Afghanistan, victory to Palestine, victory to Africa and the African community. This participation in the march was the kickoff of a Northern California Week of Action, during which, as you stated, white people have an opportunity to learn more about the African Liberation Movement and get involved. And in fact, in a few hours, an event is taking place at the Uhuru House in East Oakland, where the African Socialist International Chairman, Amalia Shatella, will speak in greater depth about the history of black resistance in Oakland and the objectives of the International African Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing is that today is a very important day. It marks the one-year anniversary of the police murder of Lavelle Mixon, a young African man who resisted an assault by the police, killing four cops before he died, four Oakland cops. Here is a short clip. I know that you have voices from the march and the vigil that the Uhuru Movement organized to memorialize Mixon.
Yeah.
It's real talk right here, man. He gonna be missed. He ain't gone nowhere, man. Lavelle Mixon, man. That's what we screaming out here, man.
East Oakland.
That's my cousin, man.
Oakland police
always messing
with somebody. That's what I got to say.
They always want to shoot him.
They always want to shoot somebody.
Black people, you got it. He's a true hero, a soldier. A lot of people wouldn't come and say, oh, he was a fool to kill them police because they were scared to speak out. But my cousin went out like a boss, a true boss, a real black man, not scared.
We are doing a vigil here in the black community for our black beloved brother, Lavelle Mixon.
Yesterday, Oakland's police chief announced plans to step up the police aggression against the African community of Oakland. And here's a brief excerpt of the news.
Oakland's new police chief is vowing tonight to get more officers onto the streets and improve response time to crimes.
Batts acknowledged that the department needs to improve in many areas. A backlog of unsolved cases, low morale, and slow response time for calls to 911.
Okay,
and starting next month, the chief is sending 30 officers now working inside back out patrolling the streets.
Drugs, guns, and gangs are the mission of this organization.
Chief Batt says property crimes are often committed by truants. He says possible solutions include an anti-loitering ordinance to keep minors off the streets and holding parents accountable.
Wendy, can you tell us about the state of police activity in the African community of Oakland since the Mixon incident 1 year ago today?
Yes, so just last year, right before the Mixon incident, the police chief, Wayne Tucker, resigned, actually. So I just wanted to back up a little bit because there's been tremendous crisis in the Oakland Police Department. And so from March of last year until the fall of last year, there's been an interim police chief. And to give you a glimpse of the brutality of the Oakland Police Department, which really remains the same from when the Black Panther Party organized in defense of the African community from police terror. Last year, the Oakland Police Department was, and still is actually, under federal investigation for its cover-up of the promotion of an officer to the head of internal affairs for beating to death a man named Jerry Amaro. And Jerry Amaro was a 35-year-old Mexican man who was beaten by an Oakland police officer named Ed Polson, who kicked him repeatedly to the point where he had five broken ribs, a lacerated lung, and was left untreated and died of pneumonia less than a week later. And this happened in 2000. So it didn't come out until 2009. And it's also just in the last couple weeks it's come out that the family was told at the time that he was beaten up by gang members, which is true, but they didn't say that the gang was in fact the Oakland Police Department. So just to, that was just to give you some context, because the police chief resigned. He said it was because he didn't get support from the mayor and the city council, but he resigned amidst, that was one of the things that was happening. This is all coming out. But since the Mixon incident, the Oakland police have killed a number of African men, including a man named Parnell Smith, who was killed back in July when the police pursued him because he matched the description of a suspect who was an African man and carried a cane. And this is how they pursued him and shot and killed him. In August, the Oakland police shot and killed an African man named Brownie Polk at a liquor store in East Oakland, saying this handyman was threatening them with an axe. Many witnesses, of course, disputed that attempt to justify his being shot down. And then in the fall, the police brought in this man named Anthony Batts as the police chief, and you heard a clip from him. He was the police chief in Long Beach, California, in Southern California, and he's an expert in community policing, which, you know, I've come to learn through this movement that is really a deepening of the counterinsurgency. It's where it's winning the community to the police strategy, to participating in a police strategy. And as you heard on the clip, he's dedicated to waging a war on drugs, guns, and gangs, which, of course, we've heard that before. That's just the old code words for the war in the African community. So just two other points. In December, 18-year-old Kenneth Ross was shot in the back multiple times while running away from the Oakland police, and he was just deemed to be a gang member. You know, the criminalization, dehumanization of young African people so that their lives aren't worth anything. Not only that, but Kenneth's mother actually waited on the scene for 5 hours where the new police chief was on site, did not come anywhere near the mother of Kenneth, and she never got to see her son there. Also in January, the city attorney announced a petition to get a gang injunction, which is a really serious attack on the freedom of assembly and association of young African people, and they're pursuing that gang injunction. So the police presence in the African community has definitely increased. You know, they're on the offensive, but I'm also told that the resistance is continuing.
Uhuru. Can you give details on today's Uhuru House event?
Sure. So today's event is at 4 o'clock, and it's called One Year Later, Resistance of the African Community. And Chairman Omal Yeshitela is the featured speaker at the event. Chairwoman Penny Hess will also be giving a presentation. And the event goes from 4 to 6, and it's held at the Uhuru House, which is 7911 MacArthur in Oakland, and it's sponsored by the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement.
Okay. Following this presentation at the Uhuru House today, African Socialist International Chairman Omal Yeshitela will then travel south to Santa Cruz for a teach-in at which African People's Solidarity Committee Chairwoman Penny Hess will also speak. Can you tell our listeners how they can participate in that event as well as the rest of the Oakland Week of Action?
Definitely, and we're really excited to bring Chairman Omal Yeshitela and Chairwoman Penny Hess to Santa Cruz for tomorrow's event, which is going to be held at the Loudon Nelson Center. That's L-O-U-D-E-N, Nelson Center. And that's at 301 Center Street in Santa Cruz. It starts at 7 p.m., and it's a teach-in to stop U.S. colonial wars here and abroad. I know that Chairwoman Penny Hess is really going to address the situation in Haiti, which, of course, we understand that that's the earthquake has been used to justify ongoing U.S. Occupation. And that event has really been built by a new comrade in the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, Stephanie Diaz, and also a veteran of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, Paul Kessler in Santa Cruz. On Tuesday, we're going to be back in Oakland for an event at the Humanist Hall, which is 390 27th Street, and that starts at 7 o'clock. It's Tuesday, March 23rd. We'll feature Chairman Yeshitela, Comrade Chairwoman Penny Hess, and also Maria Cristina Gutierrez, who you heard speaking at the march yesterday, who's from the Frente Colombiano Por el Socialismo and has a long history with the chairman and the Uhuru movement. Just to mention also, we have volunteer opportunities later in the week, which include our Uhuru Foods Farmers Market on Saturday, March 27th, which is in the Grand Lake area of Oakland. And people can volunteer anytime between 7 a.m. and 3 p.m. Uhuru Furniture and Collectibles is a project of the African People's Education and Defense Fund, and on both days is inviting volunteers to do community outreach from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and that's at 3742 Grand Avenue. And then Sunday, ending out the week, Sunday, March 28th, Uhuru Pies is holding a kickoff meeting from 10 a.m. to noon at the World Grounds Cafe at 3726 MacArthur Boulevard. And this will be the 30th anniversary of, it's one of our biggest fundraisers that we do every year. They can sell Uhuru Pies, and anyone and everyone can be a part of this 30-year celebration. And it's a fundraiser for the African Village Survival Initiative, Uhuru House Projects. And join us.
Uhuru. It sounds like a really powerful week.
Yeah, and if people want to get in touch with us, they can email us at oakland@uhurusolidarity.org or call us at 510-625-1106. You can also find us on Facebook at Uhuru Solidarity. Uhuru Solidarity Oakland. You can find us there.
Could you just comment on any changes that you've seen in Oakland in regards to gentrification and counterinsurgency?
Well, yeah, I think that that's an important question because really in the past, I've lived in, on and off in Oakland for some time, but I'll just say that within the last 10 years, there has been serious gentrification in Oakland where the communities of West Oakland and East Oakland, you never saw North Americans or white people living in those communities. And now you have many, many white people that have moved in. And this was actually from the mayor that was prior to the neocolonial mayor, Ron Dellums, Jerry Brown, called for this sort of artist communities to move into Oakland, and we've seen that. And you know, we really want to call on white people to really understand that it's not progressive to set up a loft in West Oakland and have your little artist space. It's you know, or at least if you're going to do that, you need to be supporting the African community's struggle for economic development. And because yes, we've seen a whole scene of artists and gentrification moving in off the backs of that in West Oakland and also East Oakland. In terms of the counterinsurgency, just some of the things that I described around the continuation of police killings, and just, you know, the city has done nothing to address the poverty, where one in five households in Oakland live on $5,000 a year or less. So, I mean, you know, there's just a military strategy, and so that's what we want to call on white people, you know, who are against war, against injustice, to really not just come out and demonstrate once in a while, you know, but to really join organization and join the Uhuru Solidarity Movement.
Uhuru. I understand that one of the ways that Solidarity Movement in Oakland carries out a responsibility for material solidarity with the Uhuru Movement's program for African liberation is to raise funds through street fair food booths throughout the summer. What are some of the big events that people might want to get involved with this year?
Well, one of the biggest fundraisers that we do is up in Humboldt County, and it's called Reggae Rising. Mm-hmm. Uhuru Foods has been participating for decades now, and so that is happening the very first week in August. We would love for people to get in touch with us now because it is a huge operation. It's a very successful fundraiser and a great opportunity for us to really win people to the style of work that we do, the kind of outreach we want people to do, and just the kind of the community and collective spirit that we have in raising funds for the African-led Uhuru movement. We also are doing a number of fairs in the South Bay. We're doing in June, the weekend of June 5th and 6th, although that's also the national conference weekend of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement in Philly, but we are doing a street fair in Sunnyvale. we do the Gay Pride Festival that happens at the end of June, and that's a huge festival. It's not a mobilization. It's a huge party, really, in San Francisco at the end of June. And that's a really important way that we can bring political consciousness to a street festival that really has become predominantly white, a kind of a white rights and not a festival that really is addressing oppression in a serious way. It's definitely not addressing the oppression of African and oppressed people. So it's important that we're there at that festival. So those are some of the things that Uhuru Foods is doing. And of course, every Saturday we're at the farmers market, and we want to build a team around that. And we're building a team for Uhuru Pies, which, like I said, there's a meeting on March 28th, and we're getting started to put together the largest Uhuru Pies fundraiser for November. We're getting started now. So.
All right. Well, thank you, Wendy.
Thank you, Uhuru.
Uhuru. This is Kristen Gordon talking with Wendy Snyder of Uhuru Solidarity Movement in Oakland. This concludes this week's broadcast of Solidarity Not Charity on Uhuru Radio.